This podcast was recorded Thursday, April 18th at 10:05 a.m. Things may have changed by the time you hear this. Yeah, like Democrats and Republicans will stop the drama and just put Joe Biden's name on the Ohio ballot and the Alabama ballot, as it turns out, even though the Democratic convention occurs a few days after the state's ballot deadlines. Let's talk politics. This is Snollygoster, WOSU Public Media's weekly look at Ohio politics in those Snollygosters, those shrewd politicians who look for your vote. I'm Mike Thompson. Coming up in the podcast, the privacy rights of dead people leads to our Snollygoster of the Week Award. But first, remember Issue 2, the one Ohio voters passed last November? The one that makes recreational marijuana, or marijuana for fun, as we like to call it, legal in Ohio? It's about to get real for people who want to buy it like they would buy a bottle of bourbon. Because Issue 2 was a change in state law and not an amendment to the Constitution, lawmakers could change it. Still, they could change it. They could have changed it. And we thought the largely marijuana-averse Republican legislature and governor would do that. But they haven't. And recreational sales could begin sooner than some had predicted. The state law, passed by voters, requires the state to have applications for dispensaries ready by June 7th. The first dispensaries up to start selling recreational marijuana are the ones already selling medical marijuana. There are about 120 medical dispensaries up and running. Joining us now to give us an update on the start of sales and any continuing politicking around the issue is Tom Herron. He's an attorney and is one of the leaders of the effort to bring legal recreational marijuana to Ohio. Welcome, Tom.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Here we are on April 18th, 4 months and 11 days since Issue 2 passed, and the law that voters approved sits unchanged. Are you kind of surprised by that?
I'm not surprised by that, to be honest. We said from the start that we believed the initiated statute that voters passed provided a best-in-class model to get an adult-use program up and running. And I'll tell you, the Division of Cannabis Control, which is part of the Department of Commerce, I mean, the folks there at the division have been working tirelessly to meet the deadlines that were set out in the initiated statute.
Didn't you think they would even make some kind of a symbolic change? I mean, they were so averse to, especially the Senate and the Senate president was so opposed to legalizing recreational marijuana that they would have done something.
Well, look, we'll see what, if anything, happens in the legislature. Right now, I think the work that the division is doing is a testament to the commitment to provide an alternative to the illicit market to Ohio consumers this year, right? To provide an alternative to driving up to Michigan and generating tax revenue in that state up north. You know, we expect that this year we will see adult use sales at Ohio licensed dispensaries.
So let's talk about the process and where we are in that process. The state has to make applications available, as we said, in early June, but it has until September to award them. But there's talk that it might happen sooner than that. What's going on?
Yeah, so the Division of Cannabis Control has been engaged in the administrative rulemaking process now for a few months. The first rule package that they released came out, I want to say, early February of this year, and there have been a couple subsequent tranches of rule packages that have come out since then. And this is all designed to allow for the release of applications for the first batch of adult use licenses, as you said, on or before June 7th. And then at some point between June 7th and September 7th, the division intends to issue the first round of adult use licenses, both to existing dispensary locations right now in the medical program, as well as dispensaries that will be located at other addresses throughout the state. So, I can't tell you when the first day of adult use sales will be in Ohio, but it'll be probably at some point this summer.
Mm-hmm. Now, September 7th still technically is summer, but you would say July or August, perhaps?
It could be. You know, I think you'd have to ask the division how they're thinking about the timeline. You know, I'm certainly not in a position to commit them to any particular timeline. But the process, I can tell you, is moving very quickly.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, there was some critics. I don't know if you were around when the medical marijuana stuff was first being rolled out, and that was pretty slow in rolling out. And I mean, there's still some license applications that are sitting out there. How is this different? Is it because we've done it before? Ohio has done it with the Ohio medical marijuana system?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that was one of the benefits of the way that the initiated statute was set up, was we didn't have to start back at square one, you know. And I think the Department of Commerce, the folks there learned a lot. I think everybody learned a lot from how the medical program rolled out initially. And candidly, I think it's been day and night difference as far as timeline goes. You know, the initiated statute passed by voters in November, became effective in December, and in June we'll have the first round of applications for these adult use licenses. So the entire rulemaking process is moving along as contemplated under the initiated statute.
Now, the legislature still plays a kind of a role here. The state's new Division of Cannabis Control has to get its plan approved by the state legislative panel called the Joint Committee on Agency Rule Review, JCAR, for you acronym fans. Might lawmakers on that panel still kind of change things, slow things down, add some speed bumps?
Well, not to get too much into the nitty-gritty of administrative rulemaking, but the things that JCAR considers as part of that rulemaking process are really not designed to address substantive policy issues, right? Mm-hmm. It's more about the procedure and how the rules are being adopted. And, you know, we haven't heard anything so far from the lawmakers that are part of JCAR that would adversely impact the timeline. But we'll see. You know, right now, I think everybody, the stakeholders within the industry, stakeholders on the regulatory and the policy side, I think everybody is moving forward as quickly as possible to get this program up.
The chairman of that committee is Representative Jamie Callender, Republican, who has supported legalization of recreational marijuana. So that has to be encouraging for you folks.
Yeah, I think that's right. We certainly appreciate the work that Representative Callender has done on this issue and continues to do on this issue. But again, we're really focused on working with the division to get this program up and running.
So let's get to the producers, the processors in the dispensaries. Are they ready?
Yes, I think so. I think on the business side of the industry, folks have been getting ready for the last several months, have been working with the division as they've gone through the rulemaking process. The division has been very open to receiving feedback thus far from industry stakeholders and other policy stakeholders that are interested in this issue. So, you know, I think both industry and the regulatory body are directionally aligned here on the timeline and how important it is to have a regulatory framework that accomplishes a quick rollout to the adult use program, while at the same time ensuring that there are protections in place for Ohio consumers as well as existing medical patients.
So is there in the dispensaries themselves, you need to have a medical card to go into them and to purchase marijuana now. Will that just be, you don't need to show that medical ID, maybe you have to show an ID to show your age? Is that the big difference? Is that the only difference these dispensaries will see in how they operate?
Yeah, there are some differences, again, that are really, no pun intended, in the weeds as far as how these businesses operate. But yes, in the rule packages that the division has put out, once these adult use rules are finalized, there will be processes in place to ensure that to get to the dispensary premises, to get inside the dispensary, inside the sales floor, you either are an existing medical patient or you are somebody that's older than 21. So there will be a process to check IDs, for instance, before you can get access to the dispensary.
It's like getting into a nightclub or a bar. You can show your ID.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, unlike you don't need to show an ID to go into a liquor store, but you need an ID to buy it. You know, some states, I remember when some states, this is early on, some of the first states to legalize recreational marijuana, they had traffic jams around the first dispensaries that opened in long lines. Do you anticipate that here?
It's hard to say. I you know, we do expect a lot of people will be interested when the program first rolls out. But we also expect that this will be a relatively smooth rollout. Mm-hmm. Again, Ohio is not the first state to do this. Here in Ohio, we have the benefit not only of 7 years of knowing how to regulate the sale and production of marijuana under the medical program, we also have 10 years of experience in other states as they've rolled out their own adult use programs. So when you look at how this rollout is going to go, I think it's going to track what we've seen in other states.
Based on my experience, I think we'll see a lot more billboards advertising dispensaries in Ohio. In Massachusetts, that's the number one billboard you see is the advertising dispensaries as you drive down the highway. They've replaced car dealers.
We'll see. The division, one of the tranches of rule packages that'll be coming out will be governing advertising and those sorts of things. So I know they're working hard on how to regulate marijuana advertising in addition to, you know, regulations that they're contemplating, packaging, labeling, all of those sorts of things.
Interesting. Anything? What happens to the folks who have the medical cards now? Do those just disappear?
No, the adult use program will operate side by side with the existing medical marijuana program. And, you know, remember I talked about the division's working really hard to give an alternative to the illicit market while at the same time protecting consumers and ensuring that medical patients aren't left behind. So in one of the rule packages that the division released, they contemplate that these dispensaries will be operating both for adult use and for medical use, and that they will have some processes in place to ensure that medical patients can still access the medical marijuana that they need, you know, and that could be early hours solely for medical patients or designated point of sale stations for medical patients, keeping a certain amount of inventory on hand and sort of segregated for medical patients based on medical marijuana demand. So it's really been a thoughtful process how the division has been rolling out a lot of these rules.
Any difference in price? Might medical marijuana patients get a discount if they need it for their medical condition? They can prove that.
So under the initiated statute, there's a 10% tax that's added on top of local sales tax for every adult use marijuana product. That 10% tax will not apply to medical marijuana purchases.
That's interesting. Okay, that's it. That's interesting. I did not know that. Getting back to the politics for a sec here, Governor DeWine, in his State of the State address last week, he asked lawmakers for clarification on public marijuana use.
We must respect the will of Ohio voters. Absolutely. Absolutely. However, I doubt if very many people who voted yes on issue two wanted their kids breathing in marijuana smoke while walking in a public park or on a sidewalk to ball practice, or smelling the stench of it walking from the parking lot to a Guardians game or a Reds game. That's not what people voted for.
Not quite sure why the governor believes baseball players and fans are more prone to pot smoking than others, but be that as it may, is what the governor described, Tom, legal under the law passed by voters?
No, quite frankly. The initiated statute that was passed by voters already prohibits public consumption of adult use marijuana. The way that I think about it, the way that I've explained it to folks is consumption of marijuana is unsurprisingly treated much like consumption of alcohol. You can't drink a beer walking down the street. You also can't smoke a joint walking down the street. You can't smoke a cigarette in many buildings. Those same laws also apply to smoking of marijuana.
So I always thought, well, what's the difference between some guy, you know, smoking a really bad cigar, smelly cigar at the corner of Carnegie and Ontario heading into a Guardians game? So we're not going to have that with somebody smoking marijuana under the law.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, the cities have DORA areas, you know, designated areas where you can bring an open container of, you know, wine or beer or mixed drink. Can cities regulate marijuana that way, or does the state law prohibit that?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, and part of how that process might play out could be dependent on how the rulemaking process continues with the Division of Cannabis Control. But right now, general rule is you can't consume, you can't smoke marijuana when you're out in public.
Yeah, ComFest is our big community festival here in Columbus. And let's just say that the marijuana smoke is not an uncommon scent there. So I wonder if they'll ask for some kind of exemption there or just maybe look the other way. There's another thing there about expunging low-level marijuana convictions. Democrats would like to see that acted on in the legislature. It was not part of the law passed by voters in November. Where does your group stand on that?
Yeah, look, I think the restorative justice aspect of an adult use program is really important. As an initiated statute that went before voters, we were limited as part of what could be included within that initiated statute. There's this thing called the single subject yes. rule when you take issues to the ballot. So you have to be really careful that you don't include too many issues as part of those citizen-initiated ballot proposals. We'll see, like I said, if anything or what happens in the legislature moving forward. But it's also, I think, important to remember that Ohio has pretty robust opportunities to expunge or seal records currently. Most criminal convictions for marijuana possession are low-level misdemeanors, if not minor misdemeanors.
Yeah, so it possibly could be something the voters could address down the road, or possibly the legislature down the road. But we'll have to see how that goes. Tom Herron, he's an attorney and one of the leaders of the effort to bring legal recreational marijuana to Ohio. It is coming, probably in the next few months. It'll be a new era, an era that it really kind of is amazing if you go back 20 years to where we were and where we're going to be come September. Tom Herron, thanks for joining us here on Snollygoster.
Of course. Thank you very much for having me.
We'll be right back.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
Time now for our Snollygoster of the Week segment, where we honor the shrewdest politician or political move of the past week. This week, we give it to the Ohio Supreme Court for ruling that death certificates filed with the Ohio Department of Health are not subject to complete public disclosure. This case goes all the way back to the start of the COVID pandemic, when former Columbus Dispatch reporter Randy Ludlow tried to get cause of death information and the names and addresses of people who died. The court ruled the names and addresses combined with other medical information would violate the privacy of the deceased. Here is why Randy Ludlow wanted this information. He wanted to know how many people dying from COVID were in nursing homes, and in particular, which nursing homes. The state was unwilling to identify the exact nursing homes where the deaths occurred. So we did not know which nursing homes were doing a better job than others in controlling COVID. Which sounds like a bit of information the public would benefit from. Anyway, for protecting the privacy rights of the deceased, and by extension, the nursing homes where they died, and should we mention the nursing homes in Ohio have a very powerful lobby? Anyway, the Ohio Supreme Court gets our Snollygoster of the Week award. That will do it for this week's edition of Snollygoster, which is part of the NPR network. As always, please be sure to leave us a good review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts, and just tell your friends about us. For our student producer, Katie Genius, our digital producer, Michael DeBonis, and our audio engineer, Dalton Jones, I'm Mike Thompson for Snollygoster for WOSU Public Media.